Hello everyone, welcome to this episode of the Optimism Show. Today we have Garm from Glow Dollar. Welcome, Garm.
Thanks, Chris. Honored to be here.
Likewise, great to have you here today, and like really excited to talk about Glow Dollar, which is quite an innovative project and like something that we don't see that often in the crypto space. Like, would you like to give us like just a quick rundown before we dive into the detail about what really Glow Dollar is?
Yes, absolutely. So Glow Dollar is a stablecoin. It's very similar to USDC in that it is US issued and US regulated, 100% backed by cash and US treasuries. So it's a totally collateralized stablecoin. The big difference, however, is that we are structured as a nonprofit. And that means that instead of all of the money that we make on the US treasuries backing our stablecoin that the likes of Circle and Tether keep for themselves, we are able to take those profits and donate them back to the crypto ecosystem instead. So our vision is really that, you know, Circle and Tether, they're making billions of dollars in profit each year because we as an industry have collectively decided to embrace them. They're making like 3 to 4% on every dollar that we hold, essentially, and they're keeping all of that profit for themselves. And we feel that we can do better by putting that back into the crypto industry through typically builder grants, also directly to specific organizations that support the crypto ecosystem, for instance, Protocol Guild. And then we also support charitable causes like climate change action or extreme poverty reduction. You can choose basically what you want to fund in our app on glowdollar.org. And that's basically Glow Dollar.
No, I have to say, like, that's quite a novel use case, like a novel company when you, like, an NGO, I would say, like, that is in crypto right now. And I'm really curious more about your story because, like, from what I've seen, like, you've been in fintech and you have quite an extensive experience in fintech as well. And then you moved to really creating Glow Dollar and really focusing more on the public goods and creating something that is impact focused. Like, how have you come up with the idea for Glow Dollar and why exactly Glow Dollar? Like, why did you even start this company? Because most people, when they come in crypto, they just want to do the hype thing rather than really the public goods thing.
Yeah, for sure. Great question. Is it okay if I give you a very long answer about the journey that led me here? So basically, I did a PhD in product management ages ago. And then once that was finalized, I was recruited into fintech by a founder, a duo of friends that I knew from my university days called SecFi. And there I was recruited to lead basically their product organization. Like, they had no tech yet. They had a financial product and they needed to build an actual tech product around that. And I led the team doing that. And then we scaled it from five guys in a room to 50 people by the time I left. And then at some point they grew to 150. And I think now they've shrunk quite a bit again after Zurb was over. But then I think during COVID, my co-founder Jasper, he went super deep into the crypto rabbit hole and he said he wanted to do something there. And I said, okay, great. Let's start hacking some stuff together in the weekend. And this was COVID time, so NFTs were all the rage. And we built a small but fairly successful NFT project that's still live today. Once that was sort of running quite well, we thought, okay, it's time to leave our corporate job and start to venture out on our own. And we're going to be building the next super awesome crypto startup. But then through Jasper's alumni network, a billionaire called Sid C. Brandy, who is founder and up until very recently was CEO of GitLab. a company that went public in the US a couple of years ago. And he basically said, I'm looking for some crazy startup type folks who want to do an insanely ambitious project, because he wanted to basically solve extreme poverty through a crypto-powered universal basic income project. And the idea was very similar to WorldCoin, actually, except WorldCoin is a for-profit organization, and his vision was, well, if you want to do this well, it needs to be a non-profit, and you need to give everyone the same amount of money daily so that it truly is equal, and not like with WorldCoin that you get a lump sum upfront, and ultimately you're really just KYCing for their gigantic identity organization. You know, at first we said, well, we're never going to do it, but we're going to take his call and we'll speak with him. And, you know, that's probably fun and let's see. But then the more we talked about it and thought about it, we thought, okay, this is pretty crazy, but it's also really cool to do. And I am probably never going to run a nonprofit ever. But this one I think is kind of interesting and I would like to contribute to. So we started doing that at the end of 2021, and we basically figured everything out. We were kind of live at some point, and then Terra Luna crashed and the entire crypto industry went through a winter, and simultaneously the interest rates was really changing. We went from zero interest rate environment to a raising interest rate environment. And we just immediately realized, oh, these stablecoin issuers, Circle and Tether, they are suddenly making a ton of money. And if you look at the teams behind those organizations, I mean, Circle is a 1,000+ employee company. Tether at the time was, I think, like 100 or maybe a small 200. And we thought, how difficult can this be? We can really do it with a handful of people. We can do the exact same thing, still make gigantic amounts of profits, and then donate it back to charitable causes or the crypto ecosystem instead. So we set out to do that, and that's basically where we are now. It took us about a year to actually launch the stablecoin version, but we were fairly early with launching a new stablecoin in this new interest rate environment.
At the same time, and it's like really an interesting point that you brought back there, like even in your talk at DEF CON, which I would suggest everyone that's listening to this to check out, and we'll put the link in the description. You're saying like, and it's true, like when you see like the Tether and USDC, like they have pretty much a duopoly, which is more leaned towards the Tether side, but still it's a duopoly over the stablecoin market, and they have like hundreds of employees and they take a pretty much a ridiculous amount of cash. But my question over there is like, just as you said, like you're really trying right now to achieve more or less the same thing with a handful of employees and have a significant impact on funding public goods and even funding, like pretty much supporting charities. Like, how are you bridging that gap of really going after a market that's pretty much run by corporates right now, which is exactly what crypto doesn't stand for. to like, how do you approach that challenge? And it must be a pretty big challenge with only a handful of people. And how do you envision to really bridge that gap? Like, what is your long-term vision with GlowDollar? Because that's quite a challenge that you took over there.
Yeah. Well, great question, and I'll be honest, it is indeed a challenge. Basically, how we view it is stablecoins are a utility by now, similar to how the actual gas token like ETH itself has become a utility that's run by a foundation. They are doing things that in theory are in the best interest for the network and not only for the organization themselves. We're trying to model us to their sort of example. And in that sense, that means that you have a lot of people basically just working on evangelizing the actual token amongst the networks. And to be honest, that's not too dissimilar from what a Circle and a Tether are doing, but they're also doing a bunch of other stuff. Like Circle is developing a lot of technology in-house that we choose not to touch. We say rather we orchestrate the sort of ecosystem that is being built around GlowDollar. We will never try to build those services ourselves on top of it. Like, we are not going to provide ramps. We would rather fund for-profit organizations that build these ramps on top of it. We are a neutral organization that really only issues the stablecoin itself and then uses the profit to influence the ecosystem around it. So I think by deliberately saying, okay, we are always going to be a very lean organization that isn't going to do all of these additional things outside of our narrow scope, but rather we support the for-profit organizations around it, we can make decisions that are better for the network as a whole. Because what you see with duopoly is that duopolies and monopolies in particular can get very greedy. So if you look at, for instance, Tether's profits, they're making about 8% on every USDT that is out there, whilst the risk-free rate is more like 4%. So how do they do that? They are putting money in lots of other assets and risky investments, which, you know, that's totally fine if they do it because they are a for-profit entity. But at the same time, those are the assets that are backing our stablecoin, which we want to be able to trust and believe in that we can always redeem it. And, well, you know, bad things can happen. So let's say Tether's assets suddenly devalue a lot, then you're going to have end users holding the bag in a way that makes them very unhappy. And by sort of us saying, like, we are 100% transparent, we operate under a foundation model, we'll never do something weird with your assets, we put ourselves in the sort of mandatory environment in which we cannot do these sorts of greedy and dangerous things. But nevertheless, you are totally right that it's not easy to compete with these alternatives because, yeah, they do have a lot of manpower. But truth be told, in our conversation so far, I do not really experience that as being a big downside yet. Like, so far, by virtue of us being lean and focusing on very specific ecosystems in which we get a foothold and then gradually grow, that seems to be working pretty well so far.
Well, that's fantastic. And when it comes on that question, because really, as you mentioned, like, you focus on just the core aspects of it. So without really developing everything in-house, like, you're more focused on eventually supporting the ecosystem around GlowDollar. And even if there's for-profit organizations that build with GlowDollar, supporting them as well. My question over there is, as you develop GlowDollar, really, and as the organization keeps on growing, like, how do you envision to, like, first of all, it's a twofold question. First is, how do you focus on expanding the organization right now, especially in a super cutthroat and competitive market of stable coins right now? Especially as they market with, like, high yield, hold their stable coins, and they practically have immense market presence. So how do you envision to reach that goal that you discussed in DevCon, for example, of getting 1% of the stable coin market? How do you envision to reach that? And what are you working on right now that helps you get closer there?
Yeah, another great question. There are multiple aspects to this. So I would say one is everyone right now wants to have USDC and USDT because that's what they know. And that's sort of a trusted brand. But basically, when you as a chain decide to work with a specific stablecoin, then you sort of have a choice between three flavors. So you have the well-known USDC and USDT, who are the big boys. They don't share yield. They keep everything for themselves, but people know it, right? And then alternatively, you have this increasing category of yield sharing stablecoins that are popping up, which are great in their own right. But because they share yield, which is prohibited in at least the US and EU at the moment, and most likely in other jurisdictions in the near future as well, they are forced offshore. A lot of users cannot use them, and a lot of exchanges cannot list them. So you sort of have those two options. And then we try to present ourselves as a third option that sort of sits in between. We are still US issued, US regulated. We don't give the yield to the end user, but we give it back to third parties, the crypto ecosystem. And by that way, we don't run the same risk that that some of these yield-bearing stablecoins do. So I think by positioning ourselves as an alternative that really gives back to the ecosystem that you care about, we try to be a differentiated offering that increasingly more people, but also chains, are going to push. And I'll be honest, right now, because all of those organizations know USDC and USDT, that's usually their default choice. But we're very happy that some chains are starting to support us more explicitly, starting to push us a little bit, and really also believe in this vision of, oh, stablecoins should be a utility, should be sort of very neutrally managed. And yeah, they want to see us succeed and support our growth. So that's one thing. Another thing is we, once we actually focus on a chain, then we always get a team member to completely focus on that environment and go talk to a lot of these different organizations and make sure that we get integrated with them. But, you know, stablecoins is really a network effect business. So it's 0.00001 for a very long time. And then slowly it starts building and starts to grow a lot larger. And, you know, my dream end state would be to be a top three stablecoin and basically be in the same sort of regions as USDC and USDT. I don't necessarily think it is great if we would replace them in its entirety. Although it would be great for funding the ecosystem, it's also good for an ecosystem to have multiple high-quality stablecoins that can be used in lots of different places. So I think that's probably the most important, and that's also what we do on a day-to-day basis right now, is just evangelizing, getting out there, getting more people to know GlowDollar, and getting more apps to integrate with GlowDollar.
And I would assume also, like, just as you said, it's more of like stablecoins is a lot more of a network effect. And even like some chains, like there was some, it wasn't, I wouldn't necessarily say it was a big trend, but there was definitely a trend where some chains would launch their own stablecoins for a period of time. But yeah, like, something like GlowDollar, I'm also curious when it comes to the aspect of, like, you really focus on the basis of decentralization, of like having projects that really help everything, not just the project itself, it's not just there to extract, but it's there primarily to provide value. And when it comes to public goods and like really funding public goods with GlowDollar, I know there have been a lot of grant programs here and there, and also like I know a lot of people would have like, why this charity might not be doing the work, or that grant might not be doing the work. How are you navigating these challenges when it comes to funding public goods with Glow Dollar to know to give the actual money to the projects that truly will make some kind of a difference? Like, how does that voting aspect go, or like, how does the decision-making aspect go in that aspect of distributing the yield from Glow Dollar?
Yeah, great question. So basically, we let the holder decide, because the income that we get is linear to the total market cap of Glow Dollar. And that also means that the people controlling the Glow Dollar can sort of linearly vote how we distribute the actual Glow Dollars. So in our app, on app.glowdollar.org, you can connect your wallet, sign a transaction, and then within that transaction, you can choose which causes you want to fund. Right now, you can choose between, I believe, around 7 or 8 different causes. This can be crypto open source or climate change, or specifically like retro funding by the Optimism Foundation. And then within each of those areas, it depends a little bit on our own subjective decision-making, what specific organizations underlying it get funded. And typically, we strive to create neutral parameters that allow us to just follow a specific sort of formula for how we distribute it. So within the Web3 open source bucket, we've chosen Gitcoin, Giveth, Protocol, Guild, and Artisan to split it by 4. And then we've chosen those specific organizations because they're leaders within the industry. Whereas within the Celo public goods buckets, for instance, we give it to their central organization called CeloPG.eco, as well as we run a specific growth campaign in which we distribute it to projects directly that contribute to the liquidity that we have on Celo. And in other cases, it's just a straight distribution to the organization that's listed there.
Well, Carmen, thank you for sharing all these insights, both like you explaining breaking down Glow Dollar and what you're building over there, and like where you see like the your thoughts and opinions on like public goods. I have one last question. I have two questions, actually. So when it comes to Glow Dollar, first of all, like, what is your call to action to our listeners? And what would you like people to do right now to support Glow Dollar?
Yeah. I would like people to start using different stablecoins. Ours, of course, but also consider some of the other ones. And you can start doing that by taking, let's say, a percentage of your existing stablecoins and swapping them to Glow Dollar. And then please also try to spend them. And if you cannot spend them at your favorite platforms, exchanges, protocols, or you cannot swap them or stake them or whatever, then please try to evangelize Glow Dollar and be like, hey, you guys should really integrate Glow Dollar as well. We're increasingly integrated in lots of protocols, but there's still a long road to go. And very often these protocols will say, we like what you're doing, we would love to support you, but in order to prioritize your work, we need to have more demands from our community in that they want to use Glow Dollar as well. So please do. Yeah, that's probably the number one call to action for all the listeners.
Well, that's like definitely something actually worth doing right now as you're listening to this. And I have one last question, Garm. Is there anything else that you believe that is really worth mentioning that we haven't really talked about yet?
I'm actually reminded of a question you started but didn't finish, which was, there was a time that a lot of chains were launching their own stablecoins, which, you know, I think is valid in the sense that it's good to have a USD equivalent in your own brand. But I think there's also a lot of power and virtue in having a stablecoin that's also available on other chains, especially within the superchain, right? Where you want to be able to move around those chains freely. GlowDollar is really trying to become a universally available stablecoin, especially within the superchain. Connected to that, it's also not necessarily easy to launch your own stablecoin. The token creation is easy, but then maintaining availability, maintaining a stable price, ensuring good RAM support in all of these different platforms that people need, getting exchange listings, having the right licenses, having the teams that operate it, like there still is quite some work involved with it. So if there are any chains listening out there, if you're considering getting your own or getting a wrapped version of USDC in which you need to do everything yourself as well, please consider GlowDollar, and we'd be happy to speak with you.
Amazing. Yeah. Amazing, Garm. Thank you for all these insights. It was a pleasure talking with you today. Like, amazing topics.
Thanks, Chris. I enjoyed this a lot, and looking forward to meeting in person at the next event.
Likewise, and actually really looking forward to the developments in GlowDollar and like covering them as well.